Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Gleanings So Far, Part 2. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
There have been several exhaustive instances in my life where I have thought, how could they forgive me? How can God forgive me? How can I forgive myself? And then I recall the comforting words of the prophet Micah. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Pray with me, please. Our prayer of confession is printed in the bulletin. Holy and gracious God, we confess the blindness that is not even aware of sinning, the pride that dares not admit it is wrong, the self that can see nothing but its own will, the self-righteousness that knows no fault save in others, the callousness that has ceased to care, the defiance that does not regret its own sin, the evasion that constantly makes excuses, the wisdom that is only foolishness in your sight, and the heart that is too hardened to repent. Grant us, O Lord, your tender mercy, that we may be forgiven. Through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Hear our assurance of pardon. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins and the riches of God's grace. This grace was given to us to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Our affirmation this morning signifies the ministry of Christ, expresses the integrity of creation, and recognizes the importance of both men and women in covenant life. Please stand as we declare what we believe. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and in ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation, yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. And like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, and like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning is the beloved and well-known passage from Ecclesiastes. For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second lesson this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the second chapter beginning at the first verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. Paul writes, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God." Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the privilege of worship, and would pray now that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, and this through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you were with us last week, you will remember, or you may remember, I should say, that we're looking at 40 gleanings I have gathered about life and ministry during the first 40 years of my ministry. We looked at 20 of those last week. We'll look at a remaining 20 here this morning. And so we begin with number 21, when in doubt, do the loving thing. Given that every day we are faced with new opportunities and new challenges at how to best live out our faith, I will confess that there are many times I don't know quite how to do that. And so I have determined, when in doubt, to try to do the loving thing. When questioned along this line, Jesus said that all of the commandments can be boiled down to two: love God and neighbor, and all the rest is just commentary. So when in doubt, do the loving thing in the loving way. Number 22. Given all that we've been given, there's a time to give back. Bob Buford wrote a book decades ago called Halftime, that many folks, in which he argues rather, that many folks spend the first half of their lives seeking success and the second half of their lives seeking significance, making a difference. While there was much in that book with which I disagreed, primarily his suggestion that we have to wait until halftime before trying to make a difference in the world, I do agree with him that given all that we have been given, there is a time in which each of us has to give back. And I would suggest that that time comes sooner rather than later. Number 23, I am not in control. And I don't need to be. People often refer or to defer to the senior pastor as being the boss, the one who makes decisions, the one who is in control, when in truth, I don't see that as my role among you at all. If there's one way I characterize my leadership style, it is consensus building and permission giving. In fact, one of my favorite sayings is, "There go my people. I must follow, for I am their leader." But rather than trying to wrest control over you or from you, I have tried consistently to give it away. You see, I've determined that if everything needs to go through me, every idea, every project, every decision, then we are completely bound by my time, my energy, my vision, my faith capacity. However, if each of us is encouraged to pursue our own God-given passions, given that they are consistent with our faith, with our vision, with our mission, then our capacity for doing ministry is compounded exponentially. I know I am not in control, and I give thanks with the good news that I know I don't need to be in control. Number 24, every church, and hence every church member, has to do the ministry that God has given them to do. We're all familiar with the 80-20 rule, that 80% of the work in any given organization is done by 20% of the people. And if that's true, and I think it is by and large, then that means two things to me. First, that we are doing far less than God desires or has equipped us to do. And second, that only a small minority of people get the experience of the joy that comes by being used by God in a meaningful way. Too often I hear people complain about what other people aren't doing, which seems to me to be a terrible waste of time and energy. We need only be concerned about what God has given us to do and then do it. And when we do that, it is remarkable how much of God's work gets done. I believe that God has given TAB, and with that, each of us as members of the TAB family, a very particular kind of ministry to do, starting right here at 34th and Central, and then emanating out from here. So we don't need to concern ourselves with what others are or are not doing. We simply need to keep doing the ministry that God has given us to do. This is the field that God has given us to plow. Number 25. The church is made up of some very odd people. And all of them are loved and lovable. Now, this one I think is pretty much self-explanatory. If it's not, just look around for a second. You know, we're some pretty quirky people. And it would be hard to find the common denominator among us, save the love of God. And that's the beauty of it all. It's what I love most about the church, that every last one of us is loved, even when we aren't so lovable. Number 26, people are just people. Through the years, I have had the opportunity to sit with folks in nearly every conceivable station and situation of life. At the moment of birth and of death, in state houses and state penitentiaries, in houses with many rooms and in houses that could fit into one of those rooms. I've sat with the infamous and the famous, and through it all, I have come to learn that people are just people. Sometimes we get so enamored, so intimidated, maybe even put off by people's titles and positions and stations in life, be they high or low, that we forget that people are just people with the same kinds of hopes and dreams and fears and desires that you and I have. Number 27, live within your means. This is a lesson that I think every individual or family or community or state or nation or church needs to learn and live by. That God has created us and given us responsibility to be stewards over the creation. And so we need to learn to live responsibly with all of it. Fiscal responsibility is a discipline. And like any other discipline, at times it is really hard work. But like any other discipline, once it is mastered, it offers a tremendous freedom for us to do what we want and need to do. I believe that God has given us a great work to do here, but we can't do any of it if we don't have the resources. And so we must continue to live within our means. And I will commend the TAB family for doing that for decades now, and ever then seek to expand them. Number 28, loneliness is a terrible disease. Mother Teresa once said, of all the diseases I have known, loneliness is the worst. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. This chronic disease has only been exacerbated during the time of the pandemic. So if you are one who is battling loneliness, please do everything within your power to reach out. And if you are one who knows of one who is battling loneliness, please do everything within your power to reach in. Number 29, little acts of kindness are not little. I think it would be safe to say that most of us hope to be remembered for some significant act we have done. But I have come to believe that most of us will be remembered best for some little act of kindness. A note written, a call made, a smile offered, a name remembered, a prayer lifted. I am often reminded that little acts of kindness are not little. Number 30, never cut what you can untie. Relationships are difficult. They're complicated. They're complex. Husbands and wives, parents and children, neighbors and friends, pastors and parishioners. So in those difficult times, there's always the temptation to simply cut the tangled knot and move on. But to the contrary, I've learned never cut what you can untie. Leave the door open. Always be ready to run to welcome the prodigal home. Number 31, invest in the future. When is the best time to plant an oak tree? 75 years ago. When's the second best time? Today. As I think about that, I consider the future of the church, and I'm thinking church with a capital C, not just TAB specific. I'm continually reminded of how important it is that we invest in the future. I have been blessed through the years to work with many pastors who are younger than I. And whenever I am invited into one of those relationships, I always say yes. I believe in the importance of investing in the future. If you look around at all the capital improvement projects we're doing at TAB right now, every one of these is an investment in the future for the next 100 years of ministry that we will do on this corner. Today is the day to invest in the future. Number 32, hold on to fewer essentials. You've heard me quote the Moravian saying, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, liberty, in all things, love. So as I have aged and hopefully matured in my faith, I've come to realize that the fewer essentials I try to hold on to, the better it is for me. I've learned to hold firmly to some, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the gift of grace, the two commandments, love God and others, and I'm learning to loosen my grip on still others. Number 33, talk less, listen more. Now that's kind of a curious one for someone who has spent his life and career talking, right? But I increasingly see the value of trying to talk less, to shorten my stories, to tighten my responses, to listen more. There's wisdom to that old adage that God has given us two ears and one mouth. Number 34, plan your next step. Many of you are aware that Kristen and I moved into a retirement community about a year ago, and a good number of you have wondered why, and some of you have even been so bold as to ask us why. Through the years, having watched and walked alongside many of our age and older, I have seen the wisdom of planning your next step. In my experience, too many people find themselves having to make quick decisions, expensive decisions, frustrating or disappointing decisions when some life-changing event occurs. So we wanted to try to avoid some of those as best as we can. So determined that this decision to move was something over which we could take control. Now, I'm not suggesting this is the right decision for anyone else, but I am suggesting that there is value, regardless of the season of life you are in, to plan your next step. Number 35, plan, but be ready to pivot. Now, playing off that last gleaning, this one was highlighted particularly during COVID. Like many of you, during the pandemic, we as a TAB staff and leadership would spend hours making plans as to what we should do next, of how the building should be used or not be used, how our ministry would be conducted. And more than once, when a decision was finally agreed upon, some new bit of information would arise that forced us to scrap our plans and start all over. Of course, plan, but always be ready to pivot. Number 36, we can disagree even with those with whom we agree. Perhaps you've heard me say this over the past several years, but the past number of years have been the most difficult of my 40 years in ministry, and in part because I have found myself in disagreement even with those whom I know I agree with. And I know I'm not alone in saying that. Tensions have run high, given the pandemic, the political environment, the social complexities we're facing, the violence that plagues us, and so on. One of my favorite sayings, one of my favorite Presbyterian mottos, is that persons of good character and principle may differ. I firmly believe that. I live into that. And yet I have found myself being surprised by how much disagreement and division people of good faith and principle have allowed themselves to engage in, even with others with whom they by and large agree. I find that I need to continue to remind myself, and so you, that the one who unites us is greater than anything that could seek to divide us. And so we need to live that way. Number 37, end without an asterisk. How many high-profile athletes, business leaders, politicians, pastors can you name who, near the end of their careers, have made a mistake which has stained their characters and tarnished their reputations? Hardly a week goes by that we don't hear about or read about someone who has to put an asterisk by their name and their accomplishments. Now, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about this for myself, but I do add it to the list as a reminder that as I draw near to the end of my career, that when a pastor fails, particularly morally, he or she takes down a lot of people with them. Their words and their actions can influence a lot of people in their relationship with God and the church, some for good or some for ill. And so I remind myself, as I remind you, end without an asterisk. Number 38, take time to look in the mirror. Last summer, when we gathered in small groups to talk about the issues surrounding the death of George Floyd and the difficult history of racism in America, I recall being asked what I was learning through all of this, and I remember answering, I am taking this time to look in the mirror. And I'm not looking for more wrinkles or gray hairs. But it's a life review regarding my own attitudes, my own actions and experiences with persons other or different than myself. I grew up in what I have come to understand is quite a segregated suburb of St. Louis. I knew that my black friends lived on one side of the city and I on another, but I never really gave much thought as to why. I realize now that there was a history of discrimination in my city of which I was never aware until I was forced to take a hard look in the mirror. A number of years ago, my mother, who at that time was about 94 years old, came to a similar conclusion. And so she invited about 30 of her friends, all white, to come to her home one evening to listen to stories being told by one of our family friends about what it was like to grow up black in our community. And when she issued the invitation, she told her friends, "We are here to listen and not to talk, just to listen." There were a lot of mirrors that were being held up that day, and a lot of mirrors need to be held up still among us. Number 39, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Karl Barth, perhaps one of the 20th century's greatest theologians, a man about whom it was asserted that he never had an unpublished thought, was once asked by one of his students, "What is the greatest truth you've ever learned?" The student expected some profound theological explanation, but Barth responded, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Barth's answer reminds us that some truths are simply profound, but most truths are profoundly simple. This is essentially what I think the Apostle Paul was saying to the Corinthians centuries ago. It's what I have tried to say throughout my 40 years of ministry. I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Which brings us to our last of our 40. You are loved. Now go do something great for the kingdom of God. This is the way I have ended every staff meeting for as long as I can remember. And if ever I forget, someone in the room reminds me. So friends, I leave you with this. You are loved. Now go do something great for the kingdom of God, to the honor and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the lessons that you teach us throughout life. We pray as we reflect on these truths, more importantly, as we reflect on your truth, that we might live in a way that brings honor and glory to you in all that we say and all that we do. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.